Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
I'm on board now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul. We figured it was time, y'all. So we're going to come in here, going to do a little bit of draft talk. NBA playoffs are on as we're recording this as well. So don't have quite as many guys as we have previous years, but I'm probably going to just dive in here a little bit to Cam Boozer, to Isaiah Evans, maybe do a little roundtable. First off the top, want to welcome in, happy to have joining us, Ben Pfeiffer here. So Ben's an NBA draft analyst. You've probably seen some of his content on YouTube. If not, be sure to check that out. We'll plug all of that stuff in the descriptions here. We're going to talk about some of his clips already. So if you are familiar, you'll be right at home here. So Ben does some work over at Essentially Sports, over at Swish Theory. Ben, maybe I should just let you kind of like introduce yourself a little bit and just kind of how you got into this thing.
I think you did it all for me. I mean, but yeah, no, I mean, I've been, yeah, just doing like draft scouting on the media side for like 7-8 years now and have been lucky enough to turn it into somewhat of a career. But yeah, always excited to talk Duke guys. And like you said, not as many Duke prospects as I think the first year I started like seriously covering the draft was 2019, which obviously was a Duke year.
Yeah, for three sure. guys Zion, in the top 10 there.
RJ, Cam, we're pretty much well versed with that one. I think what really attracted us this year particularly is, you know, we're going to get into Cam Boozer right away. We're not going to bury the lead too much here, y'all. Ben, you did two videos really over the last several months here, kind of talking about Cam Boozer, breaking it down. Are we underrating the mundaneness or the consistency? Did he just grind everyone down? It was consensus. It seemed like all year that he was just getting pegged as this like third or fourth pick. The numbers are the numbers though. And like what he did at Duke is like incredibly impressive. It's one of the best seasons we've ever had here. Just for you, man, kind of like, where does he stack on this big board? What is his kind of ceiling? Is there any kind of like pitfalls for a guy like him?
Yeah, I'm incredibly high on Cam Boozer, have been for a long time. Went through maybe a little bit of a lull with him early in the year while he was figuring some stuff out, but no, I feel great about him. You know, like there's like the meme with the bell curve where it's like dumb guy, smart guy, and like average guy. And like the dumb and the smart guy are like, oh, he was like one of the best Duke players I've ever seen. And the guy in the middle are like, well, he's too slow. And then it's like, eh. I think that's not nothing. I think that's more than not nothing, actually. I think his the fact that Cam is going to be probably the youngest player in the draft now that Dash Daniels pulled out. I think he's younger than Jaden Quaintance, would be the only other one. But he's like the youngest player in the draft, and he was the best player in college basketball, like unequivocally. Nobody really doubted that, and for good reason. And that alone as a starting point is just like, you can count on one hand the freshmen who have done that. And especially just like the way Cam dominated on offense. He was so exceptional as a scorer. He was so good as a playmaker. To me, that's what kind of separates him as like a true like tier one prospect. His passing is unbelievable. I think AJ and Peterson can kind of get maybe sometimes maligned a little too much for their playmaking, but on the opposite side of that coin, like not enough people talk about how Boozer's like a special passing prospect, not even just for big. Like he's just a straight up special playmaker who also happens to be 6'10", who's going to shoot and is brilliant as well. So yeah, I think there are real concerns. Like I do worry about his defense to some extent. He's going to be a below the rim defender. Like he's not really a rim protector. I think his movement skills are like solid, but probably not what you want for like a full-time perimeter defender. But his offense is so good to me that I just don't really care. And I think he has plenty of ways to get to a fine enough spot on defense. Like he's athletic enough. He's got great hands, obviously really smart and well positioned. So I think there's a lot of ways that he could develop into a defender that's not just like bleeding value in the playoffs. And obviously I think offensively is just set up to be one of the best players in the league for a long time.
What do you make of the knocks against him about his finishing at the rim sometimes against length and stuff like that? Is that something that just is not going to matter as much at the NBA level? Maybe because, I mean, yes, the players are bigger, but he might not be used as much that way, or there's more space in the lane. That's kind of my take on it. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a relevant concern. I don't think it's one that really limits him one just with how good his touch and his footwork is. And he also was able to finish over length plenty this year. I do think it's somewhat worrying how like he can't really create consistently open shots on the ball, but I also don't think he needs to be an elite player. There's so many other ways he can get his touches and get to his spots. And obviously he can develop into more of a creator, but yeah, I think his touch is just so good. He's so skilled and he's so strong, and he was still an efficient finisher this year, even considering like some of the, you know, perceived weaknesses, like not the most elite finisher by big man standards, but you consider like how much he's self-creating, how much attention he's constantly seeing. I'm not particularly worried about the finishing at the next level. Like maybe he won't be elite. I don't think he's going to be Giannis or anything like that, but he should be very good. I mean, he's not like a center with crazy explosiveness, but he's going to be great.
Yeah. And we've seen guys like that be successful like at the NBA level too. And I think, you know, one thing we talk a lot about, Ben, is the buzzwords now are, you know, everyone gets hung up power forward center, and really we're seeing it in college, obviously in the NBA as well. It's, if you're a big, can you play with another big? Like, do you have the skill set to be able to do that? I think he does have that for sure. You can slide him down a little bit up or down. He's probably not going to be like a Bam hub on just both ends where he can really kind of do that because of the defensive limitations. But we've seen some of the Kevin Love comps when it comes to the outlet passing. We saw it a little bit at Duke, maybe not quite to the extent that you're going to see it like next year. Do you think that's a part of his game that can really like be tapped into in a more up and down, like obviously for us, you know, I'm just having like pipe dreams of him in Charlotte and thinking about like, yeah, oh man, you got LaMelo, Miller, Khan just leaking out, Kobe White. Where do you kind of see the usage at for him like at the next level? Obviously it's depending on fit, but maybe where you would like it to be or what you would like it to look like.
Yeah, I think it's one of the big appeals with Cam, to me at least, that he can scale up and down really well, more offensively than defensively. Where like, yeah, I think if you want him to anchor a defense, it's probably not going to be a good defense, but he can definitely, I think, be a contributing piece of a good defense. But offensively, like, yeah, I think he is such an incredible outlet passer. It is so awesome watching him. And obviously it synergizes really well with his rebounding, where he can just vacuum in everything and launch the ball up the floor. And, you know, he'll fit well in a transition style. But I think at his ceiling, Boozer will probably have enough like face up and post creation and some potential driving against slower bigs to be pretty viable as like an on-ball creator. And we also saw him run pick and rolls at Duke plenty, and he's done it before, and he obviously has the passing chops to make that part of his game work. But yeah, I think he can just like eat on seals and like spot ups and cuts and rolls and stuff, and that'll help him like fit next to other stars on great teams, which I think I would argue, and a lot of people would argue, is more valuable than just like a, you know, guy who can score a ton of points, even efficiently, but struggles to fit next to other stars. Like Cam is going to be totally fine. Like we saw him play with Caleb Wilson in AAU and, mm-hmm. and they destroyed everyone. Cam destroyed everyone forever, but they really destroyed everyone yeah. when he was playing with Caleb Wilson and a bunch of other good players. But yeah, I think, you know, maybe like ideally he's like your second creator. I think you can like quote unquote like run your offense through him just because he's so smart and like, you know, he processes the game at the highest level. We'd probably want like one more guy to be like your primary advantage creator against switches or like someone who you're going to late in the clock to get easy shots. But I think that ceiling with Cam is also not out of the realm of possibility.
So we mentioned Charlotte already, but you know, they only have like a 3% chance of getting yeah. into the top four there. Is there another team who could conceivably get in the top four that would be really interesting or appealing to you for Cam?
That's a good question. Obviously, I'm biased. I'm a Pacers fan. I would die for Cam.
That's a great fit. Yeah.
He just has the quick processing, like the ball movement that they love to play with. That would be a great one. I think his fit on the Wizards would be good, next to Sar long term and AD short term. I think he'd be really fun in Memphis as like a pair with Zach Edey. Just get a real floor spacer, perimeter big next to just like a giant interior presence. Maybe a potentially concerning that neither of those guys like super mobile, but yeah, I think that would be a super dominant fit potentially.
Yeah. And, you know, to quote Ben Golliver, he talks about like, you know, the greatest ability is availability. And I think for Cam, maybe, you know, just because there's some questions about other guys around him in this draft, for you, Ben, as a draft, does that factor in at all when you're looking at like, okay, the floor or the ceiling might not be quite there, but like, this guy's body, like, you know, knock on wood, he's not going to miss a minute. He's not going to miss a game. He's an Iron Man at that level of production. What does that do in terms of draft stock? Does that give him movement, or is that kind of just more of a fan thing?
It definitely factors in. I wouldn't say it's like something that bumps him up, but more of like a tiebreaker. Like if that makes sense with other guys potentially. Like that's honestly very much how I feel about him and Peterson. Who are like my two number one guys in this class with AJ in that tier still, but just a little behind for me. And like Peterson, I think if he didn't have like the weirdness with his hamstring and like the cramps this year, I'd probably just have him one with a bullet because I think he's that talented when he's fully healthy. But like it's reality, unfortunately, and we don't have all the answers. So I think part like the fact that Cam is and it's not just like his health, it's just he's just such a consistent player. I talk about I like to evaluate prospects' bad games, like their worst games, and Cam's worst games are like a lot of players' best games, right? Even when he's not scoring a ton or super efficiently, he's consistently impacting with, you know, rebounding, passing, screening, smart plays on defense versus, you know, someone like AJ or Peterson, though Peterson has more of the defense, so it's a different conversation. More than like AJ, who, you know, can kind of fade into the background if his shots aren't falling. Like, that's just never going to be the case with Boozer.
Do you see him, I guess, and then we'll move on. Do you see him, is there a scenario where he drops out of the, like, top four? Like, is that possible for Cam?
I mean, it would be like worse than Luka dropping as far as he did. I don't know. I think dropping out of the top three, I could absolutely see. I could totally see someone falling in love with Caleb Wilson, which I certainly couldn't co-sign, but I like can understand the thought process of having Wilson really high. But yeah, no, I think there's zero chance of him falling out of the top four. It would be so unbelievably stunning.
Yeah. Sweet. Okay. Well, I think we're all in consensus here that, Cam is probably locked into this top three, maybe four, like you said. It seems like he's going to be.
I've had him number one for like 85% of the last 3 years. Like, you know, he's just that guy.
What do you think his NBA ceiling is? Is it like just multiple time all-star, or can it be even better than that?
No, I think he has like an MVP level ceiling.
Okay.
Yeah, I think just like this level of dominance that we've seen, like very historic again, and the easy special traits that he has, the playmaking, the strength, I think he should be an awesome shooter. Like there's no reason that he shouldn't be an like honestly potentially elite shooter at his peak, considering how much he's improved and like what he is right now. He's like already a dangerous shooter. That's another, I think, upside point for him that could make him just like an incredibly threatening player. But yeah, I think Cam, like his like median outcome is crazy high. Like it's probably like, you know, just steady all-star impact guy. But yeah, no, I do think his ceiling, even if it's like maybe a smidge lower than a guy like Peterson, or DeBanza, even though I think you can argue that for sure, that his ceiling is crazy high.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Looks to be, you know, he's got the DNA, right? He's got the genetics, everything's kind of coming in for him. You mentioned the shooting too. That's something we're not going to dig in that too much, but I do think there is a lot of growth room there. I mean, at Duke, we watched him really closely and like, it wasn't difficult for him to shoot long range shot. And I'm not talking like college line threes, like range was not the issue here. You know, yeah, obviously
he took some 28 footers and made those and
not like not off movement, but like off like a dribble, you know, like a little dribble or two. Yeah. Like, yeah, he could do that. The mid range game is never going to get featured in a system like Duke or under John Shire. We just don't really do that at all.
Yeah, I mean,
that might be available. To
I think that's
too.
Worth. That's a point worth quickly hitting on, because like that's another common Cam criticism you'll see, where it's like they just don't do that there. It's not Cam's fault. They just don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, he has like room to grow as a mid-range creator. Like he wasn't exceptional at that pre-college, but like they just don't do that. It's like it's not like some horrible red flag. They just don't do that there.
Like, right. I think there was a stat that like Duke took less than 150 mid-range twos as a team all season, which is like pretty.
There are just some teams like the same with like Michael Brown and Louisville. Like they don't take off-dribble twos like Alabama. Like
they just don't do that. Yeah. Not as much possessions. You just can't really afford to do it. But fellas, let's take a quick little break here. We'll come back. Obviously, we got Slim to talk about. We'll get into some Slim talk, and then I guess we'll round this thing out and get out of here.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, fellas, we'll come back. Obviously, Cam is Cam, so we don't have to probably spend too much time there. I do think there is some, I don't want to use the word volatility. Like, that just seems like maybe negative. Maybe we'll stick with movement because, you know, who knows what the hell that is. So there's a lot of movement, I think, for a guy like Isaiah Evans. It reminds me a bit of, like, when we were doing this a couple of years ago, Raul, with a guy like Jared McCain, where you just, you know, you could see the like potential, you could see the fit, you could see what like teams could fall in love with. But there's just a lot of like, you know, movement there because, I mean, you know, in 2026 in the NBA, shooting is still highly valued, but there is just so much of it now. Like guys are just able to shoot now. It's just a thing. So for you, Ben, we're going to assume that Swim's going to stay in this draft. You know, kind of where do you see this thing? Is it as open as it seems to me, or do you kind of have him kind of locked in, you know, a 3 to 5 pick range here?
No, I mean, I think I don't have anybody locked into a 3 to 5 pick range beyond like the top five. I think most drafts, including this one, are very open in like the range where he's going to be, which is like that back end first, late, you know, mid late first round, early second type range. It really is just like before the top 40 where they start giving out, you know, the guaranteed contracts, and you have players like fudging their way to being undrafted so they could pick their team. I think Evans is definitely like in the range where he's going to be worth a draft pick, which I think is like a key distinction these days. But, you know, I've always been an Isaiah Evans fan, and I think this year really made me feel more confident in his ability to add value outside of just shooting the ball. Mm-hmm. I always liked his like motor and his instincts. Like, he was always an energetic player who you could like imagine how he'd add value on defense, like as a driver. But before this year, he just never did. But no, I think Evans, and also for being a really skinny guy, he's physical and he likes to hit people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for projecting growth for these really thin players. A lot of them are like not physical, don't want to use their frame, like avoid contact. That's not Isaiah Evans. It never has been. But yeah, I think that defense improvement, like the shot blocking improvement, is kind of crazy. You just like don't really see that from wings like him. And then some of the driving, like the physicality, the playing slower. Yeah, I like Isaiah Evans a lot. I mean, he's a role player to me. I don't see like much of a ceiling outside of just being like a, you know, I think at his ceiling, he could be like a pretty good, useful starter on a good team. Like, that's not a crazy ceiling, but it's very worth drafting in like the mid late first round if you're hoping to project that kind of impact.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, for you too, like, you know, we talked about it a lot of, you know, he came back and he showed a lot of growth, but in draft talk, and I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on this, like, is, you know, all over Twitter, all over Duke fan, and we wanted him to come back. And of course, like, yeah, dude, come on back. Let's run this thing back. But I think there is like a certain kind of like the water gets shut off on you when you're always probably going to still be loved for the movement shooting you showed as a freshman. And like anything else you can do to boost around that, maybe get you out of the G League and like onto the roster. But I think that's still going to be like the bait. Is that still kind of true? Like, I know they always kind of go for younger guys over their potential. Does that still track for you in terms of like, okay, he could get a little bit better defensively, he could be a big creator, but the value is always going to be here in the meat, which is movement shooting, insane kind of volatility off of that, all the gravity that pulls. Like, does that track for you?
For sure. I think the fact that he's an elite off-ball shooter is always going to be like the main part of the sell. And that's like a valuable archetype still, even if we don't see like JJ Redick, Bryn Forbes types flying around much. Yeah. Like, Duncan Robinson is a huge piece as like a taller off-ball movement centric shooter on, you know, the one seed in the East or whatever.
Right.
Isaiah Joe is a big piece for the Thunder. Like, these players still have value. And I think Evans is undeniably a crazy shooter. I don't think anybody should really be denying that. Like, he took a 3-point dip this year in terms of percentage, but that's what happens when you play more and take more shots. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but his volume, incredible. His free throw numbers have always been great. Has always been willing to take tough shots over contests. Doesn't really care if he's not hitting shots. There was it Florida earlier where like he was like 1 for 8 and then he hit the ghost three.
Yeah, over 7, 1 for 8.
It's like, oh yeah, that's what shooters do. You know, like, I think it's very easy to just like call someone like a shooter or not based off like the stat sheet, but you really do have to like see what kind of shots they're taking or like turning down critically. I think a lot of like faker shooters or like lower volume shooters like won't shoot over a soft contest, but like, you're not a real NBA shooter if that's the case.
Right.
Evans is obviously, I think, has pretty sparkling indicators and has the kind of like you said, his gravity, I think, has potential to like be really impactful, pull defenders away, open stuff up, just like a space creator. You know, I feel like it's like a deep threat receiver in football. It's like not always like you're not always throwing the go ball, but like, you know, it's always nice to have space. Like,
you want a Tyreek Hill, you want a DeSean Jackson, you want somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it's like the threat is always there. So it's like, it's like Isaiah Evans is not always going to take 10 threes a game, but he could. He might make 5 of them, and you're probably going to lose if he does. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Isaiah Evans. I think he's cool. And I wish he was like more involved this year at times. I feel like he kind of like fade into the background. But it was also like a weird Duke team, offensively at least. But
yeah, I think that's fair. I think we were waiting on that too a little bit, or we kept kind of saying like, there's so much hanging fruit here. There's so much to grab, so much that he could take. Saw it at times. He had stretches there a little bit. To me, I just go back to his freshman year against Auburn, and you're playing a team that's, you know, another top three team in the country. And if you can hit 6 of 8 threes in a 20-minute segment, like, that is just back-breaking, and none of them are for the same spot on the floor. And I think that tracks. Like, when you're looking at, like, shot charts, like, okay, this guy's, you know, 45% from three, but, like, 75% of those come from the corner. That's still valuable, but it, like, it scales down a little bit. Where it's not like Slim can flare left, right, ghost you, like, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I think he's I don't know if teams will like this, but I appreciate that he's kind of like a straightforward player to me, like, or like a fairly straightforward evaluation. Like, there's some guesswork maybe with, like, you know, what he can become physically, or, you know, some of the improvements this year. But I don't know. Like, I think, like, on a scouting report, there's not going to be that many lines for strengths, and definitely not that many for weaknesses. Like, he doesn't have any like hidden huge flaws. Yeah. Like, his weaknesses to me are like obvious. Like, he just very much needs to add muscle. And I think most of the problems in his game kind of fix themselves around that. And he doesn't have like a ton of like crazy strengths, but, you know, he knows who he is. He does what he does. And I think he's willing to like play outside of himself when he needs to, I think. Is how I'd say it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, he clearly bought into a role at Duke. So, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. He showed in his freshman year that he could play a very specific role. And then he was able in his sophomore year to expand upon that role. So I'm going to do it to you again. Favorite team fit. I know there's a lot of teams who could probably use a shooter. So maybe that's
Charlotte. just reunite that team and draft Gongba next year.
Exactly.
For Malawash.
There we go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, looking at teams that realistically could be in that, you know, 20 to 30 range.
I talked about this like before we started recording. There's a lot of good teams in that late round range. Like the Pistons that already have like their Duncan types, but they always like their like Tim Hardaway Jr. type players.
Yep.
Could be a fit. Like Cleveland always like shooting. I think he'd be a crazy good fit in Denver. Like he would be awesome there. They need just like some juice. And Evans just has that kind of juice as a shooter and like as an athlete. I think they'd benefit from him. Like if the center board doesn't fall for the Lakers, like I think he'd be sick there, like would be a hugely beneficial Luka partner, easy fit there with him and LeBron. But I think those are some teams that come to mind in terms of like the good teams I can see him falling on that just like could really use the shooting, or maybe he goes to like, you know, like an Orlando or like a Toronto, like teams just need another guy to get threes up. But I think Denver would be really cool.
Jokic knows how to use those movement shooters.
Well, and Slim knows how to play off of talent well, which I think there's like, you know, like a hidden value to that, right? Like this kid's played off Cooper Flagg. This kid's played off Cameron Boozer. He's played off Pat Gamba. Like he can do different, like Konka Nipple there as well, right? So like being able to fit in is like kind of nice.
That
and then being able to pop once you do, it's crazy.
That stuff is like off ball feel is a skill to me.
Yeah.
That is, you know, the same way you like develop a lot of other things just through reps or through getting experience. Like most college players like don't have that experience, right? Where they get to play off of like gravitational superstars in the ways that Evans has. And, you know, I think maybe some people will be like, oh, it's a red flag that he didn't like have more of a creation load, which I think is fair. And there's some truth to that, but it's also like, yeah, he's going to have no problem. Like coach is going to be able to throw him in next to Jokic and he's not going to miss a beat. Like he's going to know what to do. Right. And I do think that's valuable. And I think carving space like off the ball, shaking out defenders, like timing his cuts well, he's not going to have any trouble like swatting it and doing that.
Yeah. And John does him favors too, I think, because, you know, our offense was a little bit inverted and kind of weird this year. But I think what one thing Shire does well is he exposes these guys to, we run a lot of ghosts, we run a lot of flare screens, we run a lot of stack stuff, we run a lot of empty side pick and rolls. Like those are things you're going to see. And not having to coach a guy on like where to move, when to cut, when to stay, like how deep to stay in the corner, when not. Like those are just like little valuable nicks that get you in
the game. Throw on the Hawks and like run the same 5 slot offense. Like there's, I think there's plenty of.
Brian Geisinger, who we've had on a lot, has talked about the similarities between Charlotte's offense and Duke's offense, between Duke's offense and Boston's offense as well. So, you know, Shire apparently has a lot of phone calls with some of these NBA coaches.
It's I'm good sure DNA to be a part of at this stage, for sure.
Well, let's pivot a little bit, fellas. I mean, Ben, you mentioned Pat Gangba here. I think Dame Sarr is another name. Talking a little bit about maybe some current guys, looking into 27 here a bit. I don't know how familiar you are. A lot of the guys that we bring on from the NBA come in and they're like, dude, I don't watch any high school, any college, like not until it gets to this point. So, no, you know, wherever you're at with it, but is there someone currently a little bit different? We don't have a top five-ish guy probably right now, but is there one of these guys that you're like, I got my eye on it. Maybe it's a John Blackwell coming in from Wisconsin. Like, is there somebody intriguing to you?
Yeah, just like for next year's draft on Duke's roster.
Yeah.
I think Bryson Howard is awesome. I've had him penciled in as like a top 10 guy since his summer, after, since his like EYBL summer where he broke out. I think he's incredibly good and will be an incredible – He kind of has some like Isaiah Evans plus, where he's like a crazy high movement, like, or crazy high volume, like efficient scorer, but on a lot of like spot ups and like quick catch and attack. And he's also like a great athlete, great defender. He's just like a wing that a lot of people are going to like, especially in a potentially weaker draft. Like, I think like some like rankings that come out around this time like have dropped him to like the 20s, and I think that's insane. And he doesn't play at a huge like prep school, so his visibility is lower. But I think Howard is great. I actually I'm looking at my very early 2027 board, and I have them back to back. And Gangba I threw immediately into my top 10. My only real like can't shake it thing with Gangba is just the health. It's the health combined with like the way he moves and the way he's built, like so like top heavy with skinny legs, like he's always falling on the floor. Like whether that's, you know, going for loose balls or like trying to, you know, get position. Like I just worry that he has like a play style and a body type that will lead to recurring injuries. But purely on like tape and stuff, I think he's like an easy top 10 guy, easy top 10 kind of guy.
Nice. Yeah.
I also am a big fan of Caden's still there, right? I like Caden.
Yeah. Caden's still here. Yeah. I think Caden's a kid that could really pop this year, too. Like, he was a little, I don't think he had very much confidence last year, too. He was a little, you know, the minutes restrictions a little bit there. But we haven't really talked about, I think, and I'm not familiar how familiar you are, but a guy like Dame Sarr, and really just not just Dame Sarr, but like the international game in general, like, what is that like for you on the draft side of things? Because obviously things have kind of came up from, you know, 10 years ago where it was like no one stateside was really scouting any of these guys. We got more footage now. We see this.
Still not as much though.
And like, how do you factor that in when there's different leagues and there's under 22s it's and there's tough, under 23s? Yeah. Like, what do you do
convenient,
with this?
It's convenient that they're all coming to college basketball. I'll say I'd say international guys are usually my main blind spot aside from like the top guys. But I am plenty familiar with Sarr just because I watched all of his games at Duke this year. I'm glad he was going, but he decided to go back. I think he was getting way too much buzz for this draft. He's just way too far away on offense to see him like really going in like the top 40. But his defense is crazy. He is like a legit eraser, and I think he's very good. I also forgot about they have Rippy, who's also good.
Yeah. Rippy's coming in too. Yeah, we got a lot of guards next year too. We got like three or four point guards. If John Blackwell says that he's a point guard,
strongly, John Blackwell is not a point guard.
Yeah,
but still strongly overcorrecting from this year, and I can't say I hate the idea, honestly.
Mm-hmm. No, it's I think the six game elimination deal is a coach's probably like nightmare. Like you compare it to like seven game series all the way across in the NBA. 6-6 is a bit of a different beast here. Fellas, as we get ready to wrap up, Ben, for you, is there anybody that we haven't mentioned or someone in this draft that you just like absolutely love that's maybe a hidden gem or that's maybe not talked about as much? Is there anyone outside of maybe the lottery that you love, or is there someone that maybe just has the most kind of like movement or volatility in here that could go anywhere from top 10 to second round?
Good question. I'd say my like biggest gap with consensus is Abuka Okoree, who's late first round, early second on most mocks, and I think he's like a clear as day top 10 guy. He's like the closest thing to Tyrese Maxey since Tyrese Maxey to me, and I was crazy high on Maxey when he came out, and I'm for similar reasons going to be crazy high on Okoree. It's like absolute lightning bolt with to me, like the best first step in the class. He can shoot. Passing is but he's like a crazy athlete. He can defend despite being short. Like, I don't understand why he's being picked so low. I like Malik Brown. I'd be happy to take him in the second round. I very much share like the Howie Roseman philosophy drafting late players, which is just like look for guys who are unusual. I think Malik Brown certainly fits. Like he truly has like the craziest hands of all time.
Yeah.
And he is like a 6'9" center, like really never scores, which is a huge red flag for his NBA translation. But at some point, like someone with like that, like truly special hands, deflection, getting ability, fronting the post, like genuinely like one of the best you'll ever see. And I think it's certainly going to be worth a flyer in the second round. And it wouldn't shock me if he like found his way into a rotation and just like people really loved him. But
nice. Yeah, it seems like if he could just learn to reliably hit a corner three.
Yeah, that would be huge for him.
Yeah.
Also, potential, probably not, but Duke player Alan Graves is also awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll call him honorary Duke player.
Honorary, yeah. Cedric Howard
can come back.
Exactly.
Come back to campus after a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, his profile looks really good too. A lot of his like metric stuff, his predictable stuff. I'm glad you mentioned Okori, man, and I think it's something, and we won't really go too much into this, y'all, but like that prototype is back. And it's like I'm curious if like maybe we haven't quite caught up yet. Because for a long time that type of guard was kind of considered like the Allen Iverson of the empty stat, and like the 2000 shift away, like really kind of like murdered that type of prospect. But you're looking around and it's like, you mentioned Okori, but it's like, well, Anthony Edwards, SGA, like you start to kind of like Darren Peterson being like the apex of that in this year's draft, probably, right? But like that prototype is kind of coming back.
I've always thought that like the rise of, I mean, there's always been like big initiators like Magic, whoever, but I mean, never more than now, I'd say. Do you have like teams running their offense through 6'7" plus guys? I think that just opens the floor for shorter players without traditional like point guard skills, which is definitely something that like a Corey fits into. Maybe he could develop into that. Like he is just such a crazy advantage creator that like the fact that guys always have to rotate to him means like the passing windows are open. He just has to see them. But yeah, I mean, like you see what a guy like Tyrese Maxey can do paired with Joel, like an elite big like Joel Embiid, be an elite offensive player in the postseason. I think a Corey fits that. And I think you're correct that there is a need in the NBA for like guys who can really dribble and skilled players in this draft of a whole lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to see. It's cool to see this shift in like the evolution, how the game kind of evolves.
The only legitimately bad game I saw Corey play this year was the Duke game. The Stanford game where
we had this peak window where like every league guard that played against Duke just like went to hell for a little bit there, right? Jeremy Fears got torched. Like we just went through.
I don't remember if that was before or after the game where he just destroyed North Carolina and Caleb Wilson.
Well, we went out there at the same time. So we either beat them and then they beat Carolina, or they beat Carolina and then we beat them because we played Cal and Stanford.
Carolina came first, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember the order.
Okay,
we were worried because it was like, oh, he just dropped 35 on
UNC. he just destroyed that team, and then Duke destroyed him. But
shows you the importance of perimeter defense for sure. You know,
I'm just glad the ACC is kind of back.
There's a lot of buzz coming to
the conference now. So we'll see. Fellas and Ben, I don't want to take up too much more of your time here. I do want to give you a little bit of time to kind of plug what you got going on. Obviously not a Duke guy, but we wanted to at least kind of mention the Kingston Flemings interview, a guy that we really like in this draft. A lot of guys kind of like that too. But just kind of plug what you got going on as the draft continues to ramp up here, playoffs, like what's the summer looking like?
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, just like everything will be on my Twitter or just like my YouTube channel, which is just my name. Going to be doing a lot of these scouting reports. Hopefully going to get more prospects on to do some more interviews, but working on some end of season projects as always, writing up scouting reports, going to have plenty of prospect videos. I think I'm just enjoying the playoffs as a fan this year for the most part, but
Yeah.
You never know.
They've been wild.
Yeah. Well, it's been a little unfortunate if you're a Duke fans when you see the Magic blowing a 3-1, you see Toronto and RJ go down after the buzzer beater, you see Khan in the playoffs game. Yeah, it was been a, yeah, Boston's another, yeah, after the UConn game too, man. We are due for a little bit of basketball, basketball luck here. But Ben, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. Didn't have as many guys to talk about this year, but I think we got two really interesting ones for a few different reasons. We'll plug all this stuff. We'll link all of this stuff in our description so the folks can know where to find you. They can check out some of this content. Obviously, the draft coming up here in June, y'all, so kind of be ready to kind of lock in and check that out as well. In the meantime, please continue to rate, review, subscribe. You can email us, thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on X/Twitter @devilsdenpod247. Keep the faith strong and the bird high. Go do it.